Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Fueling Forward podcast. This is your host, Maddie Alm, registered dietitian and former professional runner. Today's guest is Corey McGee. She's actually one of my former team boss teammates, and she's a 357 professional 1500 meter runner for New Balance. She's also an Olympian and member of Team Boss and the American record holder in the 2K. She grew up in Mississippi, where she was a high school multi-time state champion in the 3200, 1600, 800, 4x400, and cross country. She was also a two-time member of the junior team USA. She went on to run for the University of Florida, where she was a two-time NCAA runner-up and 10-time All-American. In her professional career, Corey has been a five-time member of Team USA in the 1500, including the 2013 Moscow Outdoor Games, 2016 Indoor Games in Portland, 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, 2022 World Championships in Eugene, Oregon, and 2023 World Championships in Budapest, Hungary. Corey was a finalist in her last three world stage showings. Please enjoy today's episode with Corey McGee. Corey, thank you so much for being on the Fueling Forward podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. You have such a fun story of getting into running. I love just your story of your childhood. You've run in so many places, including different countries, which is really unique. Tell us a little bit about how you got into running and how you ended up where you are now.
Yeah, I find it funny because I feel like I talk a lot about how I grew up and sort of like my intro to running. But then I also find it funny that a lot of times when I say it publicly, people are like, oh, I didn't know that about you, where I feel like I talk about it constantly. So yeah, I am happy to share. So when I was 8 years old, my family lived in a small town on the coast of Mississippi. And that's actually when I first began running. My dad came from an athletic background, but then when he had four daughters, he realized none of us were necessarily going to be football players. And he was like, well, what sport do I know a little bit about? And track happened to be the other sport that he was pretty familiar with. So it's funny, I always laugh because the term that my dad would always use was family bonding. And that was running. Running for us was family bonding, because that was like a huge emphasis in our household. So my older sister and I first started running with my dad when we first moved down to Mississippi. We'd run on the beach. We would go from like one pier to the next. And sometimes one of us would drop off and jog up to the street, and my grandpa would be in his truck, like kind of following along. And actually he would take us to ice cream, which was a huge perk and probably a little bit of like what it was like a, we were like trained almost to like, okay, if we go, we're going to go for a run with our dad. And then like, we knew that the whole experience included like then going and getting ice cream. And like, it was just a fun family occasion. So my intro to running was like just happy. It was just fun. And it wasn't necessarily competitive. It wasn't focused on any kind of like relation to sport. It was just a thing that I did with my family and my sister and my dad. And then it didn't take long, but probably like a few years later is when my family moved abroad and we were living in Athens. And at that point I had kind of shown that I was a good runner. I think on that first run with my dad, I went like 3 miles, and he laughs and he's like, you just didn't stop. Like, you just kept going. And I was like, yeah, it's because I wanted to annoy Shannon. Like, I just wanted to like be with her the whole time. And so, yeah, so we realized that I had like a knack for it. And then I joined the track team. And again, I think I just am stubborn or something, because all the high school boys would go run. And I mean, I was living in Athens, they all had like super Greek names, but there's these two twin seniors, and their names were like, I don't know, Alkaios and Alexandros or something. And I would like follow them on every run. I was just like sticking with them the whole way. Which is like really funny to look back on. We would run to this horse track, and we would do laps on this dirt horse track in the middle of the city, which is really weird in hindsight. I had my first race in Egypt and won, and everyone was calling, this is something I've probably never even told you, I earned the nickname Mighty Mouse.
What?
So yeah, that was like, everyone called me that. And then I went back to Egypt for my first track meet and ran the 2 mile and the mile. And yeah, I don't know. It just came more naturally to me, I guess, but it's because at that point I realized like I really fell in love with running like immediately. Once I started competing, it was just like I loved winning, I loved racing, and I just loved everything about it. I loved racing the clock too. That was probably really part of it that like in the early days, I just remember I was just so focused on how fast I could go. So yeah, all very happy memories for me.
Yeah, and I feel like part of your drive of racing the clock comes from growing up in Mississippi, where you were telling me you really didn't have a lot of people, girls especially, to train with. What was that like trying to push yourself when you didn't really have many people around you?
Yeah, I mean, I know that track and running and distance running specifically is often known as this like lone wolf sport. It's just this super at times is characterized as being like this very individual sport. And then in college, I learned that it was, there's a team aspect to it. But for me, that never really existed until I was an adult. Like as a kid, I really felt like my running was this really personal relationship. It felt like it was something that was mine and I protected it and it was important to me. And maybe that's super like it comes off as I say it out loud, like it is selfish in some ways, but I didn't have teammates. We didn't have a track team or we didn't have a cross country team at my high school until my family started the cross country team. So ultimately it was something that I was just doing for my pure desire to do it. And then it grew into a team and it grew into an opportunity to run in college and all the team stuff sort of were after effects of like my desire to do this sport. So yeah, it was kind of hard. It was definitely something that on the hard days, I never had that accountability of a training partner. I never had the person that I could like depend on to help me get out the door. It would be super hot. It would be, just my coach didn't even live nearby. Like I was just on the phone with the coach. So I think I learned really fast how to be self-motivated. And I mean, that's a skill that's taken me really far. And so, yeah, I definitely never gave myself excuses. I was super focused. And I guess in some ways, I have to be grateful for my personality because if I weren't wired the way that I am, there's absolutely no way that I could have done it because it was just like a super lonely road for a long time, especially in high school. So I was really defensive of my running, I would say. Like if anyone tried to come between me and my goal, I was like, you just don't know, like you don't get it. So definitely, yeah, it was good, but it was hard, but I think it was good because I think it prepared me to like know even on hard days as a pro, like I feel like I had to be way tougher as a kid. So,
For sure. I think some of my favorite
yeah.
stories of you growing up were like running in place in your room to try to get your run in when you couldn't go outside by yourself. And you're just such a
Know.
uniquely motivated individual. I've never met anyone who is as motivated or loves a sport as much as you.
It's like definitely a little bit embarrassing in hindsight. Like I think about it and I'm like, it's a really good thing that I chilled out from how I was as like a 13-year-old, because if I was still the way I was as a 13-year-old, like I think I would really be struggling. But as I got older, I became a little bit more relaxed, which I'm glad because I can credit my friends and the people who I've chosen to be close with for that. Like the people who I connect with tend to kind of level me out. But yeah, I think people would be surprised to hear that because I don't feel like I'm that extreme now, but it's still in there. It's still
For
with
sure.
me.
Well, you kind of
So,
have to be, to
yeah.
be at this level and have been in the sport for so long, you have to have some of that. And I think what's cool, thinking back on your childhood experience with running, being alone in the sport is challenging, but also from what I've seen from a nutrition standpoint, can be somewhat of an advantage because you're not kind of influenced by other runners or teammates or coaches who struggle with nutrition. And so I'm curious, as you got better and you started competing against runners from different states and runners at higher levels, when did you first start, or did you first start noticing nutrition affecting running, or how other runners maybe looked at nutrition and running compared to you?
No, I think that that's a really, really good connection. And it's like a really good observation that I feel like I didn't ever really connect before. But it is really true. It's so easy when you're feeling, which everyone has moments of self-doubt, or everyone has moments of like, I don't want to even say desperation, but just, you know, that feeling of wanting to be good, that feeling of wanting to fit in, that feeling of not knowing exactly what the missing piece is. And I'm really grateful that I kind of was in a bubble, because if the fact that I was alienated the way that I was, where I grew up, and the way that I was introduced to running matched with then pretty quickly getting thrown into competing at the national level. I mean, I moved back to my hometown in eighth grade. I started racing all over the country. And in ninth grade, I was like competing at national championships. And so I was super isolated like 99% of the time. And then I would have these races that I would go to and compete against like the best girls in the country. And I did definitely see things that I knew weren't healthy, and I knew weren't the way that, like, really, I'm grateful to my parents, because they never would have, like, maybe tolerated is like an extreme word, but they definitely like wouldn't have had patience with me with some of the things that I was kind of observing and people that I was racing against. And like, it's obviously a hard conversation, but I believed in my health. Like, I knew I had, it's weird to think back on, but I think it's in line with that same characterization of like just being super focused and super confident on my own, so that when I saw things that I didn't think were like healthy, I knew I don't, that's not for me. That's not what I'm gonna do. Like, I'm gonna protect my running and my body and my just like my love of what I'm doing. And so I think that I had a pretty good radar. And I mean, that's not something that you just have on your own. Like, I definitely had a great support network around me. And also, I think I just like, you know, doing other sports growing up, maybe that was helpful too. But yeah, there's definitely something to be said about, at times I feel really thankful that I did have like this isolated high school experience, because I was able to only have like positivity surrounding me when I was home. And then I would like go and race abroad, and then I could come back to my, or you know, outside of Mississippi, and then I could come back to my like almost just like protected home life and not have to like get influenced by anything that maybe wasn't good or healthy. Yeah, I don't know. It could have gone wrong really quickly
Yeah.
had I not had a good support network though. But yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know. I had a good sense for things. And I do think it's a lot to do with like having grown up, my parents were just super involved. And my mom always was really good about like never ever limiting anything that we ate, and just always making sure that like we like laugh and say she just fed us to like fuel us. And everything was super, you know, just intentional in that she had four daughters who were all doing multiple sports. And so it was just like not really ever this particular diet. It was just like eat, eat, eat was really the message. So,
Yeah, I think
yeah.
that's so rare to find in just in the athletes that I've worked with and athletes I've trained with. And you know, I feel similar to you in that I would feel very lucky to have grown up in a home where no one said the word diet, no one restricted anything. It was definitely just this idea of food being a normal, healthy part of life. And so, you know, I think it is
Yeah.
really fortunate that we didn't have that kind of background that might make us more likely to look at what other runners are doing and say, oh, maybe I should do that. But as you moved out of your home and you went to college, did that shift for you at all? Did you start to question things more or differently, or how did it change for you in college?
Yeah, college is funny because I actually think that my freshman year I was I had training table at the University of Florida, and so I probably was so used to just like eating as much as I wanted whenever I wanted, and like having food readily available. Like when I think of growing up, there was always like fresh fruit, and there was always like There was often a lot of baked goods in the house, like stuff. Those are the things that I like. And so I ate a lot of that. But like at some point, it wasn't like an endless supply. I just like ate what was around the house. When I got to college, training table, there is an endless supply. So for the first time, I was like probably overdoing some things that weren't necessarily good for me. And so, I was still running a lot, and I would say like I definitely didn't feel restricted by any means. But freshman year was the first time that I was like, okay, I can't drink a gallon of Gatorade a day. Like that's not the best thing for me to be doing. And like I didn't really notice it until probably by the end of freshman year, my body had changed, and like my performance was suffering a little bit with some of that. And so I had to like talk to the dietitian at the University of Florida and get some help just to like have more structure in my eating routine. And they were super helpful with that. And I just got back more to like what I had always been doing instead of like going to training table and like eating from the chocolate fondue fountain and then like eating like, 20 cookies or something. Because
Chocolate
I mean,
fondue fountain, sign me
I
up.
like sweets. So it is like it was freshman year. I had to learn how to cook for myself, like fuel myself properly. And I feel like it was like definitely a learning experience for the first time. And like I do feel like I had the tools. I'd rather freshman year have gone the way that it did, where I showed up and I like was super comfortable and like I have an appetite and I like all foods and I wasn't afraid of overeating. Than if it had been the opposite, where like, because at the end of the day, like I didn't get injured, I was running well, I was getting faster, but I had to kind of just like, I guess that's really what it comes down to. My freshman year was the first time that I had to like learn how to structure my eating a little bit more thoughtfully on my own, just to make good habits, because I am an intuitive eater. Like I'm definitely someone who doesn't like to spend time thinking about like it's this time of day, it's time for me to eat. I just like to know how I feel and like use that as a radar for like or a gauge for how I fuel. And that's worked really well for me. And honestly, anytime that's been interrupted is when I've had hard times like with my relationship with fueling. So I feel like, yeah, freshman year was just like getting back into a good routine. And then the rest of college pretty much went off without a hitch. I would say junior year, I was going through like a pretty hard time with some like family stuff, and that's the first time that I think I was ever underweight. And that just I think happened more because of being like unhappy and alone as in not with my family. And I was able to like immediately talk to support staff at Florida and like get just have someone give me some advice on making sure that I was refueling immediately after running. And I would say junior year, that was the first time that I started like fueling and having protein after every run. And I pretty much have done that since. And I learned a lot my junior year about making sure that I have enough food. Because that was the first time that I think that was the first time and the only time that I was like actually, I think, underweight. Like I was tired and I didn't know what was wrong. And the athletic trainer at Florida, who I was really close with, was able to say, like, Corey, I think that you are not fueling enough. And it was like a super helpful conversation and honestly, like, probably saved my career. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool that you've had experiences on kind of both ends of the spectrum of saying, like, okay, maybe I'm overdoing it a little bit here. I kind of need to figure out an approach that's maybe more sustainable. And then on the other end, I don't have any energy. Maybe I'm not eating enough. I need to change that. So it's cool that you've
Yeah.
seen kind of both ends of the spectrum. And I'm curious, just from kind of body changes standpoint, how have you navigated those mentally? Especially when you felt like you needed to kind of rein in a little bit on like the fondue fountain and things like that. How did you navigate that without going to an extreme of restriction? And how did you kind of approach that from a more sustainable route that let you stay healthy?
Yeah, I would say like the best way to be sustainable about food, especially in anything really. I mean, if there's something that you like, I think that there's absolutely no reason to ever keep that from yourself. And that's something that I've learned, especially as a pro. As you know, I love Coke. I love Dr. Pepper. I used to never drink soda. And now, as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more confident in my training and my performance, I'm like, I can have Coke. Like, that's okay. I can have a soda when I'm on the flight going to a meet, and it's not going to change my race. And like, maybe there are times where I stop and think, like, these fleeting thoughts of like, well, what if I was like super locked up and just super, super stringent on my diet? Would I like be, you know, a little bit quicker? And I'm like, probably not, because I'm always best when I'm happy. And I mean, that's not to say do whatever the heck you want, but like, even things that aren't good for you are okay in moderation, especially when you're running 80 miles a week. Like, that's a
Yes.
message that I just wish that was like, I'm not saying go eat from the chocolate fondue fountain every day. I'm not saying do what I was doing at training table and like have two plates of dinner and then fix a full plate of fruit and then walk out to the other dining room and eat like 20 cookies. I'm not like trying to necessarily say, you know, anything goes, because obviously that's not reality in a sport. Like, you do have to have like a healthy eating like routine. You have to have a healthy, like, healthy tendencies. And but yeah, I mean, like, restriction has never worked for me. I honestly can't think of any food that I've ever kept from myself. Like, if there's something I like, I'm pretty much year round. Like, that's just, I think that that's what it comes down to. I found balance, because like, there are certain times of year especially where like I really don't worry at all. And I still try to be good in the sense of I still am intentional about refueling after my runs. That's like the one thing I try to keep really like stable. And if there's something that I don't do a good job of during the off season, it's like maybe I'm not as quick with having my pro like post run protein. I mean, that's something that like I've just realized that, of course, like, what we do is a series of habits, and like, habits are, if you create good habits in this sport and you're consistent, like, that is where a lot of growth occurs and like a lot of improvement. So I do try and like, you know, stick with my good habits during the off season, but I feel like I'm definitely a lot looser with like the things that I don't want to get to May or June and be like, man, like, I just feel so unmotivated to be excellent. Because again, like, the terms are different at the pro level, but like, when I was in high school or college, like, I obviously wasn't doing this to like be one of the best in the world. Like, I was working towards that, but like, realistically, I wasn't one of the best in the world at that time. But as the stakes are higher, for sure, I have like certain things that I'm like, okay, come May or June, it's mentally exhausting, it's mentally challenging. So in the off season, I really like let myself just chill and like not worry too much about much structure. And then I feel like that ensures when the time rolls around that I have to be super structured come May, June, July, it's sustainable. And food does play into that. Like, I feel like when I get more into championship racing, like, I'm not eating as much like sweets, I'm not indulging as much. And like, that is kind of one of those things where I hesitate to talk about, because I never want that to like influence young people, and I don't want them to be like, don't eat sweets. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just for me, when it gets to like June, July, and like championship racing, my habits are a little bit more intentional. But that's a very small portion of the year compared to the other 10 months of the year when I'm like, I run enough to kind of like feel comfortable fueling or eating. Like, if I have a craving for something, I'm not shutting that down. Again, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to McDonald's. Like, I'm not going and just eating junk food all the time. But if I want McDonald's every few weeks during the off season, I'll go to Chick-fil-A when I'm at the airport. Like, I eat whatever I want when I'm visiting home in October and November. Like, I'm not worried about it at all. But I'm not going to go the day before a race and like eat a Big Mac. You get, like, it's just,
Yeah, for
I do feel
sure.
like that's some of the conversation that's harder to have whenever I start talking about, like, yeah, in the months of the year when performance is like right, like we're in it, I'm more thoughtful and more intentional about fueling for the goals that I have. But that's never under fueling. That's just like putting better fuel into my body.
Yeah.
So,
and that's such a good distinction
yeah.
too. And I think it's important for us to point out too that you are talking about making an Olympic team. You're talking about making an Olympic final. You are the 0.001% of runners who are at the top level. And even then, you're not cutting out things. You're just being more mindful and more intentional. And I think that's so important for young runners to hear. You know, Corey McGee, 3-time world stage finalist, doesn't cut anything out. And I think that's where young runners especially get caught up and they say, oh, if I cut this out, I can be a little bit better. And that's not the case. And as you talked about, from a mental health standpoint, you've always been happier and felt better when food is just something that's there. It's not this thing that's taking up a lot of space. And you even pointed out too that even when you were in a smaller body and were not eating enough, you weren't happy. And changing that, your junior year of college, that's the year that you made a team as a junior in college, which is huge. And that's when you made your fueling changes. So what was it like when you kind of made that connection, especially that post-run protein, and you made a team? What was that like to make that connection?
Yeah, I think that that year had like a lot of growth. It was the first serious injury I had, which I think is probably where the underfueling like is related, because I came off of the summer after my sophomore year, the 2012 Olympic trials, and I had this like freak injury in my ankle. And I think I was like, for the first time, again, that word desperate comes up a little bit. I was like scared that I was never going to get back to where I had been. I had just been like winning SECs as a freshman, and like, you know, college was going really well. And so, and I felt like I was, I mean, I was competing at like in the finals and whatnot. And so then I got hurt that summer, and I had made the junior team, and I didn't get to compete because, again, like I had this freak injury like while at the Olympic trials. So yeah, it was just like a whirlwind of emotions, because here I am, like my first Olympic trials, my first time competing among like the senior women. And then I was out, like I couldn't run. I had to get surgery on my ankle. And I think I just like, without meaning to, I think I just started like eating less. And then I got back to college. So summer was over. I got back to UF and I just was tired. Like I just was a little bit broken down, and thankfully, like I didn't have any bone injury or anything. Because at that point I was still cross training, but I'm sure that I was just being like a little bit harder on myself, because it's weird, because I can say confidently that like none of it was conscious. I think it was for me just more of an after effect of like sadness. And because I was sad and not running, I probably just wasn't eating enough. And yeah, that conversation occurred. My weight coach at Florida, who's awesome, he was pretty much like teaching me, okay, you can have protein after you lift, and like 20 grams is about how much you need. And like these rules that were just simple and catchy, like really stuck with me. And I had a teammate at the time who, she and I were both like really like-minded and had similar goals. So Jen and I would have our post-run protein, like we had it at our house. We were just super intentional about packing it. And I feel like now that's like become more common at the college level, but it really wasn't like happening in women's distance running. Like no one, people were afraid to take creatine, to take protein. That wasn't as common. Like we were the only girls on the team that were like pounding 20 grams of protein right after we lifted. But yeah, so started doing that, like started getting really strong. Like that was my first year lifting. I started getting really strong in the gym. And then very quickly that year, just like improved. I mean, it didn't take long for me to like get back to feeling normal and good. Thankfully I wasn't like deep in a hole, and I had a lot of really like helpful support around me, and I had like good influences and in my teammates and whatnot that I lived with. So I don't look back on it as this like long-winded thing. It just like kind of sorted itself out pretty quickly, which I'm obviously grateful for. And then had a great outdoor season, like runner up at NCAAs, and then finished third at US champs. And so it all happened really fast. But yeah, I do look back on that as like the year that I learned a lot more about what it looks like to be a pro runner. And like I was still in college, but I think I started having habits of a pro. And obviously, like here I am now. And I think that a lot of it started that year, like just instituting better habits.
Yeah, and just learning that sometimes more is better, and sometimes finding the timing and the what and the when is just as important. And that's so cool that you were able to see such a quick turnaround. I think that's something that I also try to tell young runners is if you catch it early, it can be fixed faster and you can get back to
Yeah.
a stronger, healthier place. And you were able to, within the span of essentially 9 months, go from really struggling to making your first team. Outdoor senior
Yeah.
team, which is really cool.
Totally.
So I think after that, your career really took off. I mean, you have been one of the top middle distance runners in the US for a very long time. So tell us about your transition from college to pro, and kind of if there was a time in the pro world where you found yourself struggling at all.
Yeah, the transition from college to pro, I would say, wasn't as easy for me as I think I had assumed it was going to be. Mostly because I had known for a really long time that I wanted to run as a pro. And as a junior and senior in college, I was racing the pros. So I felt like it was going to be this super streamlined thing. I think that the hardest part was like I made a big move. So that was hard. And like I entered into a training structure that was so different from what I had done in college. So if I had growing pains, it was more like training specific. And honestly, if I think about just like the relationship I had with fueling and the way that like I felt really confident in my sort of like just like the beacon I had towards my goals and whatnot, if any of that hadn't been as strong, I probably would have had a harder time. Because the training itself, like I was having a hard time with that. And just moving, like being in a new place, living somewhere far from my family for the first time. All that was pretty difficult, but I didn't know it. I was just in it. And my performance was probably showing that I was not, hadn't adjusted. But after a couple years of that, I did suffer a really severe injury. And that would, I would say, be like the low point of my pro career. I had this super bad, like horrible grade 4 sacral stress fracture, and it was like seriously the most painful thing I've ever experienced, by far. I mean, I've never felt pain like that. And when I ever like have a worry about if I ever have like any, maybe my foot hurts because I like ran in the wrong shoes, or I have something that's like a little bit of a nagging pain, I can always stop and be like, remember how bad that actually felt. And it like brings me back because it was like this. Ugh, it was just so painful. And I know it was related to like a weird experience I was having with dating someone who was on a pretty restricted diet for some like allergy related stuff. And like without thinking about it, I think that this is important because it's like it makes me realize you don't even have to consciously be limiting your diet if you're around people who do that, whether for medical purposes or because they are having like trouble with eating. I find that like it's so easy if that's the person who you eat with, it can so quickly affect you and impact your health. So you have to be aware of that. And like that was something I wasn't aware of. I was dating someone who was figuring out what they were allergic to because they were having like all sorts of strange health problems. And I like really stopped eating a lot of dairy, which is like a huge part of my diet. And between that and just like limiting a bunch of different random foods, I think that that's why I ultimately hurt myself. And that matched with it was like one of my first winters living in a cold place. So dark, running on an indoor track, and probably more mileage than I had done previously. It was just like a perfect recipe for injury. And like that's one of those things you don't really, or at least I know for myself, I didn't really notice it because I just was like everything was new at that period. Training on the indoor track was new. Running twice a day was pretty like new in that I was great, like doing a tempo in the morning and doing a double before it got dark at 4 p.m. Like just living in a city, running on hard surfaces, like there were so many new things. And then add in this diet that I was like sort of getting swept up in. Not surprising at all.
That's such a good insight too, just the unintentional piece that can come with being around people who are struggling or eating differently. It can definitely sneak up on you. And you know, it does sometimes take a major thing for you to reflect on that and notice. And I know that you did end up ultimately changing your circumstances. So how did changing circumstances for you kind of change overall happiness and even that fueling piece?
Yeah, so after I got that injury, it was kind of hard because I had been running decently at that point. Like I feel like I had finally had a couple years under my belt of a new training situation. Here I was in the third year of it. I got hurt and I was like, well, if I stop now and I leave, I'll never know if this was good or bad for me. And I mean, the injury, I don't blame my training situation. I just know that, like, you know, it was all the other stuff that I had going on. But so I thought to myself, like, I'm gonna give it one more year because if I don't, then I feel like I haven't given it a fair shot. So I recovered from the injury, which was a difficult recovery. Like, it took a long time to feel normal running again. Sacral stress fractures are super tricky because you feel it long after it's healed. And I mean, I don't anymore. It's been like so many years. That was like 2017, I think. But yeah, I mean, I definitely say it took like well over a year for that to be like totally not something I focused on during runs. But yeah, I gave myself another year. I pretty much continued to run the same way I had been running. Like I was pretty stagnant in my performance. And so I moved. I put out feelers. I was really hopeful that I could like find a new training situation. And there were definitely people who I was excited to potentially train with, one of which was Emma Coburn. And that just happened to be like perfect timing because she was starting the group with her husband, Joe Bossard, who ultimately is who coached me the last 6 years. Obviously, you know this. But yeah, so moved out to get coached by Joe, train with Emma and the team, and the team has grown a lot over the years. But it was like for me, like hands down, I know in my heart of hearts, like that was the perfect training situation for me. I don't think that I would have achieved all the like things I have the last few years if I wasn't on the team I was on and with the people I was with every day. I think like one thing about our team boss was like food and eating was like a community thing on the team. And like, I just feel like that's not as maybe it's typical in distance running, but for me, it hadn't been. It hadn't been like a thing that was like more communal since I was growing up. Like, I used to, you know, eat with my family, eat with my sisters. I went to college. I ate with different people every day. Sometimes it was quick, sometimes I was eating by myself. I moved to Boston my first few years, or my 4 years here. I was pretty much like living with roommates, eating alone. It just hadn't been a communal thing in a long time for me. And I think that eating should be. And so it was really nice joining Team Boss, where like post practice, we ate together. You usually could always have somebody who is like down to go get breakfast or get invited over to have dinner at someone's house or invite friends over. Like, I just, it was so much more natural to like eat and be together as a team and like for food to be like what brings people together and enjoyable than like this job, which it can be if you're like by yourself. It feels a little bit more like work sometimes. So yeah, I really am grateful to that part of our team for sure.
I love that, the idea of the community aspect of food being just as important as actually eating the food itself. I think that's something I try to remind athletes is sometimes the eating is not just about the eating. It's about connecting and spending time with friends and teammates and making yourself happy. I think that's a huge, huge piece. And yeah, you have obviously on Team Boss gone on to do some really incredible things. I was there when you qualified for your first Olympic team, which was one of the most fun moments. It was literally right before my 5K final. I was jumping up and down on the infield. Joe was like, go, go, you're supposed to be in the track. And I was so excited for you. And that was just so amazing to see because I've just kind of seen the way you've progressed. I've seen how you approach things. And I think it speaks volumes the length of time that you've been such a high level competitor in the sport. So kind of wrapping up all of this stuff, what advice would you give to either young Corey or another young athlete just to have this longevity in sport, especially when it comes to fueling?
Yeah, I think if I really like try to have some advice to give, of course, it's like there's a lot of offshoots that come from like this one place. And the beginning of all of that would be like really make sure that you have a solid relationship with like yourself. Like that's where I think it all comes back to. Because I could say, like, don't get influenced by like when people are doing something that you don't think is right, or don't like compare yourself to others. And like all that stuff is true. But that all comes back to like be in touch with yourself. Like that's the thing that I think is probably like the most important, what's gotten me through the hard times or the times where like if I ever had self-doubt or like questions, or I was getting beat by a girl that had a bad relationship with food and wasn't eating, and I knew it and I saw it, and we were rooming together. Like that kind of stuff happened throughout my high school career, where I was like aware of the fact that girls who were having a lot of success weren't healthy. And to like put on blinders and not get influenced by that isn't just something that you decide in that moment. That's like comes from your foundation. That comes from like what you believe and what you know and what you like really, really choose to trust. And that for me, I feel like that's where you have to like do hard work with yourself and like have a really happy, positive thought process like constantly. You have to be really kind to yourself. You have to like believe in your good decisions. And like, it's just something that's like, it can't happen overnight. And it's something that ideally like you have from your upbringing. And like, that's something that I know I'm really lucky to have that. But like, I do feel like my advice is like, you have to kind of like be in touch with yourself and like what's good for you. And like, I'm not saying that that's easy. I just think that like that's definitely really what the core value is in all of the things I could say, is like just like trust yourself and don't be hard on yourself and don't punish yourself. And like, I don't know. I could go on and on because I feel like that's what it is in the sport, like not just related to food. That's everything. That's how to be good at running. That's how to be good at anything. That's how to figure out what you like. That's how to like be a good friend. That's like everything in life. So yeah, just I don't know exactly how to say to do that, but that's what I think you have to do.
Well, it sounds to me like you're placing your self-worth on more than just running and body image. You found a way to realize who you are and what's important to you outside of those things. And I think that's hugely important. And I love that your story isn't just this linear line from high school to an Olympic team. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of learning along the way, but sticking with it, taking care of yourself, you know, fixing mistakes when you make them, that's ultimately the way to stay in love with the sport, to stay in the sport, and to stay happy in the sport, which I think is so rare. So thank you so much, Corey. It's been so fun to hear your story. I want to wrap up with some of my fun rapid fire questions here to finish up our recording. All right. So the first one is, what is your go-to pre-run snack?
If I have a workout, I have peanut butter toast with berries. If it's just a regular run day, pretty much anything goes, like cinnamon roll, whatever.
Love that. Okay. What would you pick for your last meal?
I would have country fried steak and a Dr. Pepper.
Love that. Of course there's a Dr. Pepper.
This is already, that's the number one. That's it.
Love it. What is your favorite dessert?
I love like chocolate mousse. Like chocolate pie.
Fondue maybe.
Chocolate fondue.
What is your least favorite food?
Pate. I really don't like that. But like if I have a less bougie answer, it's probably I don't like jelly filled like donuts. Like I don't like that.
That's super specific and I love that.
Don't like those.
This question is hard for you because you have done this, but if you could travel anywhere in the world or go back to anywhere you've been in the world for a food experience, where would you go?
Oh my God, if I could go back in time, there are certain things I would go back in time for, like the chocolate cake my grandma used to make me for all my birthdays. That would be like number one. But if I could just go back to like a place I've been, I would say, this is such a weird answer, but like we used to go to Fridays in Greece though, and they had the best
Whoa.
chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers from Fridays in Greece. That is going to be the only answer of that kind.
They were
Love
so good. I think it's
that.
because I missed America. I was missing America though.
Yeah,
That's
it was
why. Like I
nostalgic.
was just like homesick and I would get a little fried chicken. It was just like, you
That's
know.
hilarious. I love that. What is your go-to lazy meal that you make?
I probably would say my go-to lazy meal is like I love Caesar salad, which I know that's such a like basic answer, but like that with like breaded chicken, and then I'll just have bread. Like if I don't feel like making rice or I don't feel like making like a carb, I'll just have some bread, chicken, and like a nice Caesar salad because I just Caesar salad is my favorite
Yeah.
salad.
Love it. Just an aside, Corey makes an incredible jambalaya and has made that at several of our team camps, but that's not a quick, lazy meal. That's a very
No, it
involved
takes a
meal.
little time.
And our last one is, what is your favorite coffee or tea drink?
Let's see. Yeah, my favorite coffee is probably a ca I like cappuccinos, so that's probably my favorite. And yeah, that's like the go-to for
Awesome.
me.
Love it. Very fun. Well, thank you so much, Corey, for sharing all of your wisdom. It's been so fun talking with you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Fueling Forward podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Corey McGee. You can find her on Instagram at Corey McGee Runs, and you can follow along with her career there. Next week's episode will be a Q&A with me. If you would like to submit a question or a story for me to read on air, you can do so on my website, www.fuelingforward.com, under the podcast tab, or you can email me at fuelingforwardpodcast@gmail.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with your friends who you think also might enjoy the podcast. It really helps me out. Thanks again for listening. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the next Fueling Forward Friday.